Baik, genap seminggu persidangan iklim COP26 berlangsung di Glasgow. Penganalisis dan juga eksekutif kewangan optimis segala butir perbincangan serta visi yang digaris dalam persidangan itu akan membawa kepada perubahan yang diperlukan perniagaan untuk memainkan peranan lebih besar dalam menguruskan perubahan iklim ini. Pemerhati melihat beberapa langkah serta ikrar yang diambil oleh pemimpin dunia di COP26 mampu merancakkan perniagaan mampan serta usaha pelaburan berterusan ke arah iklim lebih baik. Namun pertama sekali, setiap perniagaan tidak kira apa saiz sekalipun harus faham bagaimana perubahan iklim ini memberikan kesan kepada mereka. Dan bagi membincangkan perkara ini, kita bersama dengan Naib Presiden ASEAN di SAS, Remco Denhaya. Remco, thank you so much for joining us. First of all, we've heard a lot of pledge in COP during COP26, including from business leaders. However, we also need to know whether most of these companies understand the risk of climate change. How does climate risk affect businesses, not just MNCs, but also including SMEs alike, and why should they focus on the climate risk?
Thank you very much, Najib. Yeah, how does climate risk affect businesses? Businesses are facing impacts from both physical risk. You can think of extreme weather causing physical damage or supply chain disruptions. Businesses are facing impacts from transition risk, right? Consumer preferences could be shifting. There may be carbon quota that get applied onto organizations. You know, electricity prices could change. So that's a transition risk. In some cases, there's also a liability risk. For instance, insurance claims that come up. So, and none of the least, we have the financial risks that the cost of capital can change because banks and the governments want to invest in greener organizations. So it is critical for organizations, for businesses to, you know, understand the impacts that they can face from climate risk. For, you know, small and medium enterprises in particular, they can be more vulnerable because there might be less diversification. There may be less diversification in terms of where they are geolocated and in terms of what product they carry.
Remco, let's talk about the reality, or should I say the current status. How are businesses currently reacting to climate risk?
Well, most businesses have actually started raising awareness about their climate targets, about the measures that they are taking. So, for example, SAS, right, our own company, we've gone public with our climate target to be net zero carbon neutral, right, and net zero carbon in terms of our emissions by 2050. and a lot of companies have been doing these kinds of, have been raising awareness in this matter. What you also see is that many potentially heavily impacted businesses like oil and gas and manufacturing and utilities, they've actively started analyzing their current and their potential future exposure to climate risk. And some organizations have even justified making a real strategic shift in terms of the business model, right? Moving away from coal industry to renewable, to renewables, moving more towards digitalization, and in that digitalization, enabling more work from home, which of course lowers the carbon footprint. And if I can take an example in the financial industry, we see varying degrees in the financial industry of this journey to integrate climate risk into its enterprise risk management strategy. There was even a recent study done by the Global Association of Risk Professionals in which it shows that maybe 33% of financial institutions introduced climate risk into their business more than 5 years ago, but actually only 24% only did that just last year. So you can see various degrees of how organizations are dealing with climate risk right now.
And also, Remco, we know that cost is always a concern for businesses, and every investment must be, justified. And what are the operational and financial benefits for businesses in having a climate risk portfolio?
Yeah, that's a great question, Najib. Look, if businesses can anticipate the nature and the severity of the risks well in advance, they can implement adaptation strategy, a mitigation strategy right now, so that they can minimize operational disruption and that they can minimize financial losses. So that's one, right? The second is that businesses can also identify new opportunities to transition towards new business models ahead of competition. Right? There's great examples out there in the market of organizations that have completely shifted their business model and are actually making a lot of money because there's climate risk coming up.
And also, having said that, what effective action on climate change should be taken by organizations from a decision-making perspective?
Conduct very, very thorough analysis on scope one and scope two emission areas, greenhouse gas emission areas. So what do I mean with that, scope one, scope two? Scope one is all the greenhouse gas emissions that you make as an organization, because you have your own assets, you have your own resources. What is your carbon footprint from your own operations? But scope two is also, you know, where are you buying your supplies from? How are you getting your electricity? Is that electricity actually green in terms of how that electricity was created? So that's scope two. So number one, you know, for organizations to take effective action on climate change, you have to really understand and do analysis, which is, of course, what we are all about as a company, right, SAS, to be able to help with analysis, to really understand your footprint. If you haven't quantified that yet, find a way. Right? Second, conduct a high-level assessment. A high-level assessment of the dependency on all the stakeholders in the value chain, not just your suppliers, but also your customers and regulators. And then the third, and that's very important, disclose your climate targets, right? Your environmental and your social and your governance objectives and targets, and disclose your actionable plans as to what is it that you're going to do about it. I would say those are the three effective actions that organizations can be taking right now.
It's not just that. The technology also plays an important role for every changes. With current technology and tools, how can analytics and data help businesses to protect the environment?
Yes, yeah, now you're really getting into the realm of the company that I work for, but you're really talking about analytics and data, right? And analytics and data can help in both identifying the problem and in actually suggesting possible actions, right, to solve the problem. So let me give you an example of identifying the problem. Example of what we've been doing. We've been working together with an organization called the IIASA to really jointly build an AI platform in which we analyze, satellite images can be analyzed of the rainforest. And it can show location and magnitude of the damage in the rainforest much more effectively than you can do that in a manual way. And in that way, you can see where the damage is happening. So your analysis of the problem is right there. Another example that's great to mention is our collaboration with the Malala Fund. We developed a climate challenge index predictor, and we can identify where girls are most at risk of experiencing educational interruptions, but more importantly, can predict the change in completion rates of primary and secondary education due to climate change. So data analytics can help in identifying the problems, and that's some examples. I was saying that data analytics can also help in suggesting possible actions to solve the problems. Let me give you an example in that area. We've launched an integrated risk management platform, you know, our company, that can be used by banks, which is dedicated to conducting climate risk scenario analysis. That assesses the impact of all the various climate scenarios on the financial KPIs, you know, the financial indicators of a bank at the portfolio level and at the counterparty level. And that can provide the bank then with a view of what a potential transition path could be. So some examples of how analytics can give you some actions to solve and give you other ways to solve the problems.
All right, Remco, thank you so much for spending time with us. I really appreciate your input on that. Remco Den Heyer, iaitu merupakan Naib Presiden ASEAN bagi SAS. Kita berbincangkan tentang bagaimanakah syarikat-syarikat ini untuk menilai risiko perubahan iklim dan juga bagaimanakah perisian ini penting untuk mengukur keadaan semasa dan juga bagaimanakah ia pada akhirnya akan menjimatkan kos dan juga akan membawa syarikat-syarikat ini bersama-sama dalam misi kita untuk membantras ataupun mengawal perubahan iklim ini. Kita akan berhenti sekali lagi. Kembali selepas ini.